Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey, what's going on? Thank you for listening to the show today. We have an incredible guest. Ashley Hesseltine from the podcast Girls Gotta Eat is here. Have such a fun discussion talking about online dating, hiring a matchmaker, blowjobs in the shower. It really is a fun discussion. I do want to remind you, I do have some live shows coming out. I love meeting you guys in person. Chicago, April 28th at the IO Theater. And then I have a show here in Los Angeles, April 30th at the Hollywood Improv. And then I'm coming to Florida. Orlando, at the Orlando Improv, May 10th. Tampa at the Tampa Improv, May 11th. I love that you guys listen to this show. I love meeting you in person even more. Come on out. Go to andrewcollincomedy.com to get tickets, and I'll see you on the road. All right, enjoy the show. All right, well, welcome to the Andrew Collins Show. I'm your host, Andrew Collins.
I just expected to hear puddles.
Oh.
The real ones know.
They really do. They probably missed the song.
I was like, what is this again? What is the Andrew Collins Show?
It was a midlife crisis. I think instead of buying
like, a Jaguar.
A Jaguar. Yeah, you bought a Jaguar. I changed the name to my show, and I definitely made the wrong choice. But we were both listening to Bone, Thuggish Ruggish Bone when we made the decision. I have such a great guest. Great friend. I mean, we're friends now for 5 years, 6 years.
Yeah. I think I met you like right when I moved to New York, like, or maybe like 2017.
It's crazy.
Maybe 2018.
Ashley Hesseltine is here.
You did it.
I did research. I really did, because I fucked up on this show we did. I said teen.
And just, like, our show that we host, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, but was that a joke or not? You really messed. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's hard to, once you have it in your head, it's hard to get past it.
Yeah.
Like what you already think it is.
I didn't feel good about it, considering, when you know someone that long. You know what I mean? People I still add an S to my name.
I was just going to say, I'm going to start calling you Andrew Collins.
It's a better name. I should have done that it from the beginning.
That is true.
Yeah.
Well, right, because like, what is Colin?
My grandpa changed it. Did I ever tell you the story?
I think we did talk about this.
Yeah.
I feel like your listeners right now who've been here since the beginning are like, they've had the same conversation.
That's a good point. So, blowjobs, are we doing them?
I have not sucked a dick in a while.
How long?
Oh, my God.
Since you moved to LA?
Oh, yeah.
You haven't sucked an LA dick yet?
Well, I sucked a dick in LA last year.
That counts. You can still taste it. That's why you moved here?
In the shower. I was like, I'm getting waterboarded.
Just threw a towel?
Yeah. Well, I don't just suck a dick.
Wait, let's go back to this shower blowing.
Yeah.
Wow. Your knee, the tile hurts. So did you bring a towel in? Did you go knees? Did you squat like a catcher? Was there a chair? Is there a seat?
That's so funny. Squatting like a catcher and like hit my hands on his ass cheeks for stability.
There's an umpire there.
Let me think back where, okay, I'm trying to think of the, I really don't. I guess I was on my knees.
Yeah.
You can do it for a little bit.
How do you feel about shower sex in general?
I mean, my whole thing is like water sex. Like last year, 2022, Raina was like, Ashley, have you realized that you've fucked in water the whole year? Like she was like, it's been shower. It's been bath. It's been hot tub. It's been shower again. Like
yeah.
It's been ocean. Like you can't stop. And then I am a triple water sign. On my zodiac.
Your pussy.
Just everything's the river. Wet. That's why we're friends. We love wet.
No,
well, you love dry.
I used to love dry. Yeah. I'm on the wet
puddles.
Now. Yeah, the whole puddles thing. Now as Andrew Collin, I actually like wet. When I was puddles, I like dry. It's a whole fucking weird thing going on. So wait, so you've only been having sex in water? But I feel like when you're in a shower, you're having sex. It sounds like you're killing a duck.
The squeezing sound.
You could hear it. It sounds like Donald Duck's dying.
Well. So it just depends on the shower, because if it's got good water pressure, that's kind of all you're hearing, you know, like a loud shower sound.
That's what if
you have like a shower that's trickling out and you're just hearing Donald Duck, yeah, no one's wet.
That's so true. Like a poor man showers is like
or not even poor.
Yeah, well,
wherever you live, yeah. L.A. I'm trying to blow the whistle on the L.A. drought.
Oh boy,
because this city. Maybe the whole state, but I would say Los Angeles is the hardest water pressure I've ever experienced. So, which I like. No one doesn't like that. We all want a shower that's like almost borderline painful. Like yes. It's like a massage in the shower. So it's not that I don't like it. I love it. Nothing worse than not good, than like low water pressure. But I would say Angelinos are using 20 times the water we actually need to in the shower. Like I'm really not trying to rile anyone up, because I know I'm sure the city is not listening. They're not going to make these changes, so don't come for me. But the drought that LA is always in, like, have we talked about the water pressure? Have we looked into the water pressure? It's shocking to me.
Yeah.
Do you think is yours?
My water pressure is good. New York was dog shit.
Right, but I'm like, maybe there's something to
but
that.
No one's going to get that. If that's your starting point, is let's make showers worse.
I'm not doing
you're
that.
Not going to.
I'm not. Listen, it's not that. This is not my cause. I'm just trying to blow the whistle on it a little bit.
Just a little blow.
I'm just trying to like tell people stop telling us like other like not me, not particularly. It's rained every day since we've been here. So I feel like I'm not part of like the really hardcore LA drought culture. But you know, prior to that, it was a lot of like, here's how we conserve water. Make sure you're doing this. Make sure you're doing that. Mm-hmm. Don't water your lawn. Stuff like that. Where I'm like, maybe the water pressure.
Could be. I mean, if you lower the water pressure, maybe you might.
I don't want them to.
Yeah.
I'm not going to City Hall with this. I'm just telling your listeners, like, I've noticed.
For the 10% of you that live here. Well, it is. Yeah, no, I think they were in a drought for a long time. I think it was like scary. And then the rain the last 4 months, it went from like zero to like 70% of whatever. But yes, let's not start with the water pressure. Let's look at something else and work our way to the shower. So why have you gone on dates here? Why have you not blown anyone in LA?
I mean, I've only been here, 4 months?
Yeah.
3 months. Like 3 months and a few days. I'm not like making excuses. I usually don't blow someone on the first date. So it has happened, but I don't know. I mean, I've gone on a few dates, but I haven't blown anyone yet. How many blowjobs have you gotten?
I mean, I have a living girlfriend.
But like,
I mean,
how much are she blowing you?
This is going to shock you. She would blow me more than
if you would want.
Yeah. Which is such an insane problem to have.
This might shock you.
This might shock everybody. I'm just getting older. I like to, you know, come every 6 days. You know? Right. Anything more than that is a job. It's like a lot, you know?
That's why they call it that.
That's true. So what are these dates? So have you had a good date?
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I haven't been, like, we've also been away a lot, you know, like I would say I was gone the whole month of February. So I feel like just as of late, do I actually feel like I have the time, you know, where I can, between everything I have going on, comedy and stuff like that, I actually have the time. I haven't been that thrilled, you know, like I have gone and I went on one date that I just felt like it wasn't. The date itself was good, like the conversation, but I felt like it wasn't a match for me. I don't even know if I was like that physically attracted to him. It just felt like I could just tell.
Where did you meet him?
Well, so I don't know if I want to. This is okay. I'm just doing a bit on this, and I haven't said it on our podcast. I met him on an app.
Yeah.
Sorry, let me move on with that. I met him on just a dating app.
Okay.
An unconventional.
An unconventional dating app.
Yeah.
But you don't want to
Uber.
Say. Yeah. I mean, I think, did you do dinner? Did you?
Like, we did lunch.
Yeah. Oh, lunch.
I went on a date in Miami, actually, since I've lived here.
How was that?
It was good. That, again, I've just been kind of like going out on dates and I'm like, I just know this isn't a person I want to date, but I make the best of it.
Do you think you've gotten pickier?
That's like a loaded question. I mean,
or are you more happy with just yourself?
Yeah, for yeah. sure. I mean, I think that I said this recently on our podcast, like the doper your life is, like the higher the bar is. Cause you're like, I love my life without a partner. So yeah, I do want one, but I'm not going to settle. I'm not picking people apart. I can just kind of know at this point in my life what I am interested in and not. And if,
what are you looking for? Like top three things you want in a partner. You want a tall man? How tall?
I don't need that tall. Like, so I'm actually going to do this matchmaking service. So they've been asking me a lot of these questions.
See, these hard-hitting questions got to this matchmaking. So wait, what is this match?
And I'm going to talk about it on our show too, but it's called Talkify.
Okay.
And they like reached out to us to partner with us. And I was like, I went through the process where I haven't met my matchmaker yet. We have our first call on Monday. But I did like the pre-call with like, I don't know, the rep, maybe it's like a salesperson, but like, I mean, I was on the phone with her for a good 45 minutes to an hour. And I really was, I don't want to say skeptical. I just had never done this before. I was like, I don't know if this is for me. And then by the end of the call, I was like, I love this concept. And it costs money, you know, so it's people that are probably doing pretty well to afford it in the first place. And I like that that they're like, they know everything that I would be looking for and what I'm not ahead of time, because they're vetting the people on the other end. And that person that they might set me up with has a matchmaker too, which I kind of love that the matchmaker's goal on both sides is to hype us, you know, like I found this girl for you. She's so fucking awesome. You know, she's this, she's that. And then you kind of go into it with that instead of like a stranger from the internet, and then you know kind of if they have what you're looking for. Like, I'm not going to get set up with somebody that has like one of my quote unquote deal breakers, you know.
Blind date?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, but then.
No, so, I've done something like this one time. I had no money. I was in a ton of debt, like 50 grand in debt. And I spent like $2,000 on this thing called It's Just Lunch.
I remember that name.
Yeah, it's on like planes, like a lot of like, I don't know why they advertise on planes a lot. And it was not great. It wasn't even lunch.
Was it like a matchmaking service?
Yeah. I feel like there's way more guys crazy in it than women. Yeah. Yeah. I definitely didn't. It wasn't a smart investment. I went on two dates.
Really?
And it did not. I tried to like get my money back because I felt like they lied to me about how much inventory there was, you know what
the
I mean?
Inventory, right?
It matters. I mean, but I think, yeah, it depends on this. I don't think the women have to pay as much as the men usually.
So here's the thing. There are services where women are free, right? Where, you know, I don't want to misspeak on matchmaking services, because like we've had great matchmakers on our shows. I'm like in support of all of this, but so I don't want to say the wrong thing. I know there are some where like the women are free or they're like significantly less than the men. I want to pay the same. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to show up with a man and he paid more than me for this service. I make money. I want an equal. So I don't know if I even like that dynamic.
Yeah.
Where everybody knows that like the man's paying for you, you know, like, yeah, take me out on a date, pay for the drinks or whatever. But I don't know if I love that, because I don't know. Like, what do you think?
I mean, it's a little, it's almost, you don't want to use the word escort, but.
Well, okay. Right. I don't want to use that word either, but. Right.
It is a kind of a working situation there, where it's like you have a middleman and it's like the girl doesn't even get the money. Like, I'd rather, you know what I mean? I'd rather just give her $2,000 straight to her. Like, we're throwing in this pimp that like has a cool .com. It's like, it's a pimp. Let's be honest.
Well, I just, And it, whatever works, but I agreed. Like, and a lot of it I think is maybe because some of these services just need more women in the database. So it's like ladies night, you know, ladies are free because we got all these fucking dudes in here and they need, we need women that I don't know. I don't know all the ins and outs, but I like that this is both the same, that the prices are the same across the board. And we'll see how it goes. Like, I think it's very funny if you were to like meet somebody. I asked this on our call because you get like 3, 6, 12 date packages. They don't do it by month. They do it by like dates, which I like. You're pay- like, you're.
Yeah, I got like the Bally's version of this where you're like locked in. Yeah, where you're like locked in for.
Bally's is a deep cut.
Bally's fucked me.
This is personal.
I owe Bally's, I think, three G's.
Okay, hold on.
Too.
I want to wrap this up and then we're going to talk about Bally's and quitting the gym.
It's just gym.
Sorry, go ahead. So, no, I just was like, if you like paid for six dates, it's not cheap, right? So, if I'm like, I paid for six dates or 12, and then I meet like the love of my life the first date, I don't know that he's worth all that. So can I get some money back? Like, it's very funny. Like, Raina and I were joking. Like, she was saying, she was like, I would never let him live it down that he cost me $5,000 or whatever.
Yeah. I think
like, she's like, I would never stop bringing it up.
And there's a discount, right? The more dates you buy.
So kind of. And they do, their policy is like, if it's within that, if you paid for 12 and it's within that first six, you do get some money back. Like, they're great. They want to take care of you. But also, they can't be just refunding left and right. They're a business. You know, like, you sign up because you're committed.
Oh, man. That would be so funny. You meet the right guy and you don't end up dating him because you want to save money. Or you want your money well spent. Well, and then you try to go back to that guy. No, and then you have to pay extra to see him again. You know what I mean?
Or hear me out. Like, there's so many different scenarios that I keep thinking of. Does this ever expire? Because, okay, so date one, I buy six dates.
Yeah.
A date one, I meet.
You break up 2 years later.
Right, and 2 years later, and you're, can I get the other five? Yeah. And then the matchmaker, what, she's died, maybe. You don't know if your matchmaker is still with the company. No, kidding. She's moved on. She's with a different, she's working at a different startup. Like, I want to know. That's a question I'm going to ask. And I'm just out of my own curiosity. All these scenarios are like very funny to me.
I feel like these guys are either extremely ready to be in a serious relationship or they're just have insane money and no time and they just want to fuck right away. Like, I think it's like opposite ends of the spectrum here. Like, with this kind of service.
With this kind of service. So here's the thing that I love that she said on the call. Like, some people that are on it are more private, where they couldn't be on like Raya. Like, if you have some CEO, he can't have his employees. I mean, he could, but you know, you don't necessarily want people who work for you seeing you on an app. Like, there's different types of people that might want to be on it, which was attractive to me. That's like, I would love that kind of person that feels like they need to be a little more private because they're like a high power person. And then I obviously love that these people are committed, because what I'm running into, and I think everybody across the board in LA or wherever it is, and I hear this so many from randomly my girlfriends in Denver specifically. I think a lot of people like went to Denver looking for a man, you know.
Because there's a lot of men there, apparently,
yeah,
right?
Like that was, and I saw it happen. I saw a bunch of girls leave New York and find boyfriends in Denver. So it wasn't like for nothing, but post-COVID even, what I'm hearing a lot there and with our listeners there and then in LA is like this real flakiness where you just cannot actually get the date. Like, I mean, people like just want to chat, or they just want like a boost of ego or dopamine or something, like chatting with you. Like, it's really sometimes a struggle to get to even where you're meeting up, you know? And I've just been more straightforward, and because I don't have time to waste, you know? Like, if I'm on Raya, for example, that's the only app I use. Like, this guy, we were chatting back and forth a couple times. I'm not straight away like, take my number. But I think we went back and forth enough times where I would be like, here's my number. I said it in a cute way. You know, he texted me. So, which is signaling to me, you are interested enough to take the initiative to get off the app and text me. We go back and forth for days and being flirty, whatever, until the point where I was like, I had this feeling this guy doesn't want to actually go out, right? So sure enough, you know, we'd been back and forth flirty. I said, we had been joking about a burrata, whatever. He was a chef. So I said, let me know when you want to grab a drink / burrata. And then nothing ever again. So it's like, what was this doing for you? And I'm just glad that I got out of it without wasting more time.
I think what it is we live in a time of social media where people are getting that fulfillment, that dopamine from likes and attention via the computer. People don't even go into work anymore. So the idea of like going out to a restaurant, you cost money. Like maybe they just want that feeling of being wanted more than.
That's exactly my point. Like they just want a little hit here and there from people that find them attractive, that they match with on an app, like a little flirtation here, a little flirtation there. Listen, I don't like it and I'm looking for somebody. So I'm really trying to trim the fat where I can.
It sucks too, because then you kind of want to, you know, you want to hurry it along because you don't even want to waste your time texting this person or giving that you're giving to them with your time and it's getting built up. So there's definitely like a way to, and you don't want to go straight to, hey, let me blow you in the shower.
Right.
So it's hard because
you could.
That
actually might work.
While eating burrata? Actually, burrata in the shower.
Let me know if you want when you want me to blow you in the shower. I'm so sorry. I meant get drinks. Like, yeah. You just like Freudian.
Whoops. Yeah. Oh my God. Duck. Fuck. Like you. Like it's like a mistype. I know. I haven't gone on a date I've been out of the game now. It's weird to even say that because I was single for 20 years.
I mean, so what I'm always also doing is like checking myself, because what happens with people sometimes on dating apps is they have been, quote, what I'm trying to say is you've been burned or you're like become really cynical or you've dealt with so much bullshit that you come across that way. And I don't want to do that. So I'm saying like, I still check myself so I'm not bringing that type of energy into an interaction with a stranger. So it's not like, I'm trying to give an example. Like, you know, you can tell somebody on an app, I've had this happen with guys before, where they're coming off some experience where they're coming at you kind of aggressively based on what they dealt with before. Like, that would be something like, I would never say this, but it would be something like me being like, do you want to go out or not? Don't waste my time. You know what I mean? Like, you're coming off of like just frustration. And I don't do that. I take enough time where I feel like, okay, now going down this road further is a waste of everybody's time. And if I start to get that feeling like this isn't someone that's actually motivated to go out, then I want to call it.
Yeah, it's tough because I feel like on these dating apps, it's just so many failures over and over again. If you know, if you're a single person, you have to literally probably go through 30 to 50 dates, and that's over, you know, a couple years before you find someone that you even feel like you connect with. And who the fuck has that who could deal with that much rejection? You know what I mean? Or that much failure. And then, I don't know, you know, I met my girlfriend on Instagram.
Yeah.
Through you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys were my pimp. You guys were my matchmaker. I owe you $2,000.
Oh yeah. I'm going to send you a contract. But that's matchmaking is why I at least know the people are motivated to actually date. Like, this is my frustration and what I hear across the board from so many different women and men too. Like, why are you on these dates if you don't want to date? Like, we're all guilty of it. I have a guy right now that's like kind of keep persisting to hang out with me. And then, you know, so I do it too. I'm kind of interested, but I'm also feeling busy. But at some point, you have to make the decision.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. The girl that interviewed me for It's Just Lunch was gorgeous, obviously, because they want you to sign up. And I was like, can I just date you? Like, I was like, really? I was just like, can we just skip this?
That's
whole
so
thing?
Funny.
And she was like, they're hella salespeople. That's the only thing. Like, when I hear you like talking, like, they keep them off. They're like, you know, they keep them like, they can't be on Tinder. They can't be on Bumble. That's how successful they are. It's a little bit of like, I could see that being a bullet point on their sales thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
But, you know, I think it's nice to, in anything, to go into it with an optimistic mind and just try it out. And maybe you do the 3 package.
I
before
am.
This. Yeah. Before the 6.
Yeah. No. Well, and of course, everybody's trying to sell you something, but it does make sense. And it is like an investment. So
I hope it works out.
My whole thing is like, at the end of the day, it's signaling that you are committed in some way more than someone who just like downloaded a free app. You know, so Anyway.
I mean,
I didn't prepare to talk about this. I haven't even mentioned it on our show. Exclusive. It's an
damn. Exclusive. You're going to text me. You're like, hey, can you take out that 35 minutes? Do you mind if we take out? Yeah. Wait, what part? Oh, just the whole podcast.
Shut up. No, I feel good about it.
Yeah.
It's just lunch still around. I feel like.
I don't even know, man. I felt like I got bamboozled for sure. I mean, I was so desperate for love. I was such a hopeless romantic.
When was this?
This was in Orlando when I used to live there and do real estate. And I just lost all my money. I lost my car. I lost my house with Rusty. Dusty Rusty. And I just wanted love. I thought that would
fix
what,
everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that fell apart. That was like the worst part. There's nothing worse than like failing and you're like, I'll find this, you know? And then they're like, nah, even this is fucking.
No. It's funny, like all those things that used to exist. Like I remember way back, I mean, obviously Rob, my best guy friend, is married now, but so long ago when we lived in Atlanta, he did this thing called Grouper. And it was like three guys and three girls.
Oh my God.
And they would set like a triple limit date.
Yeah. Fifth wheel.
Or those shows.
Yeah, dude.
I had a friend go on one of those.
My friend went on the cruise one and he like hit the girl with a volleyball, I remember. Like no one liked
like
him.
To flirt?
Yeah. Yeah, it was like very like I'm like a recess kind of thing.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, you're a fucking prick. Like he looked like such an. Anyways, but yeah, so a 3-on-3.
Which is so crazy because has to be a world in which two people who weren't supposed to be matched like each other more. You know, like if you go into it, which I never did it, so I don't know all the specifics of like these three couples. There has to be like one guy that's like, I want that girl.
Oh.
Or vice versa.
Yeah.
And then you're fighting with your friends. And she's like, well, they paired me with Tyler. There's... And you're like, your friend's like, clearly Tyler is more into me. Clearly Tyler likes blondes, Jessica. And you're like fighting in the bathroom.
And you're like, this, that is like my nightmare. I would never win that scenario. I have two, like, I know what two friends I'd go with. I've always made friends with better looking men. You know, and just to set myself up for, I was always like the, hey, who's the drunk guy pissing in his pants who's somewhat attractive but ruined himself?
That no ugly friends. That's your.
I have no for a long time. I that was like a something about maybe because I thought if I had an ugly friend, I was the ugly as well. I don't know why. I always was around handsome men. Maybe, you know, who knows?
Same. I feel like people always see my guy friends and they're like, what is happening here? I've always been just there. That really, I don't have like a bad looking guy friend.
They all wear like, they used to wear like Theory, those shirts, you know? They always had like cool button downs with like embroidery. And I was always just like, I remember one time I went to Miami and with my cool friends that are all rich. And I brought my bag. I was like living in Florida and my buddy came home drunk and he found the bag and he thought, after looking through the bag, that a homeless person.
No. Oh, my God.
So he threw the clothes into the hallway because he thought, like, a homeless person, like, stumbled in. That's how shitty my wardrobe was.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And I just remember coming home and my shit was in the hallway. He's like, that's yours, dude? And I was like, yeah, man. That's my style, you know?
That is so embarrassing. That's also really funny to walk in someplace and be like, someone's been in here.
No, it's actually your best friend who makes horrible fashion choices because his mom says that white jacket looks cool on him. My mom.
Not even like a homeless person, just whatever. Like you're like, oh my God, we would never be friends with someone who would pack like this. And like, lo and behold.
I just have like Old Spice clothes.
Was it somehow like a duffel?
It wasn't a good bag either. Yeah, I've never been one to buy good luggage. I always have the shittiest.
What do you
shittiest,
have now? You need a sponsor.
Oh, I guess.
You should get that base luggage.
I know. I have Herschel or something.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's just orange and white. Nikki gave it to me. It was from Conan O'Brien. It looks like Conan.
Oh, it's like merch.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like her hand-me-downs. Nikki forever had like this luggage that like she was like killing it.
I saw it.
It was like taped together with like duct tape.
When we were at Sirius and I was like, oh my goodness, how down to earth.
Oh, I loved it. I really did love that about her. And then she eventually got good luggage. But yeah, she carried that thing around for a while.
Well,
I did.
I told Raina when we started like, you know, traveling all the time, touring, making more money. I was like, Raina, we gotta work on this a lot because she had the same type of thing. And then it would like, it was like really old and she'd held on to it. And I lift her bags up a lot and the handle would get stuck. And I'm like, now this is on me. Like, if I will always put her bags in the overhead, like, she's so much shorter. Yeah. Like, I probably just, I don't know, maybe a little stronger. I mean, she doesn't really lift weights, you know? So anytime we board a plane and we have suitcases, I put hers up and then I,
if anything has to go under the seat, she's got you. That's why you guys are a perfect match, dude.
Can you, Raina, could you put this in the seat?
Raina, can you?
It's kind of funny, like flying, like we've been flying, we've usually did Delta and lately we've had just
here, hold that, hold that. So yeah, so you try whatever. Yeah, actually just go where you were from, I guess.
We always would fly Delta, but recently we've had to do like American, United for, because we live here now. Like, and I really have noticed it's airline based of how strict they are on little things like bag all the way under the seat, seat all the way up for takeoff and landing. Like, it's kind of, Delta's really strict, like to the point where they will like hover over you until you like put your seat up, put your thing all the way under. And then I just noticed some more airlines like are more chill.
What's that? American?
Like,
oh.
Well, American's more like, and United. But I'm like, why can't I recline a little at takeoff?
It's the dumbest.
Royal. I get it on landing because, you know, it's better to get ready for the next people boarding. Like they don't, you don't want flight attendants going around and having to put all the seats up.
What I think it is I think it's a control thing. I think if they can control you on that one little thing, you might not take a shit in the little hallway.
Oh, it's like a psychological thing.
Yeah, I think
thing.
It might be a psychological thing, which I maybe Google that. But
so they're
like, if you follow that little task, you won't get out of line.
So they're flagging people who are like
maybe
pushing back.
I mean, the airplane mode thing is insane. Having to put on airplane mode. I've had pilots lately that sound 9 years old. That's like been my new thing.
Wait, same.
Where they sound like skateboarders. They sound like, yo, dude, we're going to fly like 35,000 feet, bruh. Whatever, we're going to do a couple barrel rolls. It's going to be sick, dude. It's going to be, dude, Randy's coming. It's going to be dope. We just greased up the half pipe. Whatever, dude. I think there's an engine. Who cares? Whatever. Fly away, dude. Who needs wings? I do. Anyways, Red Bull. Hell yeah. Sponsored by Monster.
Oh my
yeah,
God.
Dude. And I'm just like losing it. I'm like, this person
is like 12.
Yeah. They can't even drive a car. They have to get picked up at the airport by their mom.
That is so funny.
They can't rent a car, but they can fly the plane. You
know
what I mean?
They're hotter too.
Yeah.
Younger and hotter. Tell you,
I got caught. I put a video of this guy on Instagram. I videoed a pilot because I was getting on. I was like, this guy is Doogie Howser. This guy is so young.
Yeah.
And I put it on my Instagram. I got a message like 3 days later. Hey, dude, that's me.
No.
Thanks for making fun of me. Oh, man, the exchange was amazing. But something like, I worked my ass off for 10 years to become the youngest pilot at American or whatever. And I was like, he's like, you know, I'm not a kid. I'm like, well, you're kind of acting like a kid. You know what I mean? I wrote something like that back. And I was like, maybe I could get you some wings. I swear to God, he found me. And he was so angry. I was like, no, this is a compliment, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, that's such a man thing to do. I feel like any woman, if you put her on your Instagram story and you were like, is she old enough to do this job? We would all be like, stop.
Yeah, stop.
That's
that.
So crazy. Yeah. No, like, I just.
Yeah. Dude, I've had some pilots.
And guys are like, I'm an adult. It's like, oh my gosh, shut up.
I know. It was a hurt to his ego. He's like, you don't know how hard I've worked. You know, you don't know how rich my dad was to have our own plane that we could fly for fun. You know what I mean? I flew one time to the Bahamas on this plane that, you ever fly the smallest plane where it doesn't, you're just, well, the air is just.
My dad had a Cessna, so four-seater. So
damn.
When I was like, I have no fear of flying because like I was a kid in like a four-seater airplane.
What was that like? Flying with your dad? I mean, that's got to be intense, no?
It's
a little bit.
Awesome.
Because like, are all the crashes you always hear about. It's like the Walmart family was flying their, you know, whatever, their helicopter, and seven of the family members died, and now the $1 billion is going to the dog.
Well,
you know?
It's just, and my dad, like, his whole life, he wanted to be in aviation, be a pilot. So he had this, like, small plane since he was, like, really young. And so to me, it just was like, you just trust your dad. Like, I still think my dad is just, like, everything. He's invincible. He's, like, the best driver, best pilot. Yeah. So I just, growing up, you're like, there's no fear. You're like, of course, nothing's going to happen. It's my dad. He's got this. But even as I got a little older, it started to feel a little more scary.
Dude, my buddy's dad had a seaplane, and he was the biggest alcoholic on earth. Like, I'm telling you, this guy was, he got a bunch of money from his dad dying, so he spent it all. Uh-huh. Like, and he would fly the seaplane. We'd be on the dock in Florida, like, 6 inches above our head. Like, and he hammered, just.
I'm like. Having a visceral reaction. That's really terrifying.
Oh, dude. But we, like, as kids, we were like, woo! Yeah, we're like.
Drinking and flying.
Dude, he crashed his airplane. He crashed a helicopter. I swear to God, it's a true story. He had a helicopter. He crashed it at the hangar or whatever, like, where. And he drove off. It was. He went home. And he didn't get caught. He didn't get a fucking, I don't know, HUI. I don't know what you call it. A HUI. A helicopter under the influence. So, like, this guy was, like, the most absurd man on earth. He'd go to Russia to get girls and, like, Guatemala, like, all over. He would just, died in Costa Rica.
Doing
what he loved. Fucking driving up an airplane drunk with six hookers, like a fucking champ. Yeah, he was an animal.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I don't know. I feel like your podcast. It's so interesting because, you know, I did your pod so long ago now.
Yeah.
The dog episode. And I was looking back and I was like, it had like, and whatever, likes are likes, but it had like 300 likes. And I was like, for some reason, when I did your podcast, I thought I was going to look back at it. Like, I didn't even plan on, I was getting another photo off your thing. I thought it would at least have like 1,800, 2,200. I was like, oh, like, you guys like worked your fucking dick off these last few years. And I don't know. And you guys, I'm so in awe of what you all have accomplished. I really am. And you've had on so many different kind of motivational people, therapists. You've had an insane amount of information thrown at you. Does anything stick out, or is it just every week it's someone new so you don't forget about what happened last week? Or
no, like everything. Like, I just really do. When Rain and I started the podcast, I don't know that we felt comfortable with, like, the word expert. You know, that wasn't – I think that we are smart and have had a lot of life experience. You know, like, I have, you know, dated so many people, slept with so many people. Like, I could talk about, like, dating and sex all day. But we kind of started the podcast with, like, a lot of information, knowledge. You know, I had – been like through a relationship that put me like reading a lot of books, going to therapy for a little bit of time and things like that. Rain had obviously had this broken engagement. So I feel like we had a lot of life experience and knowledge, but really wouldn't have said experts then. And like now 1,000,000%, you know, I think sometimes, so I say that to say like, we've learned so much over 5 years of having the foremost experts in every area of dating, sex and relationships. Like, we have a degree in this shit by now. It's really like, I feel like sometimes we talk to therapists and they're blown away, you know, where they're like, oh, wow. Yeah. You said it better than me. You know, we get that a lot. It's really flattering and they'll say it offline. Like, I think that we have learned so, so much and like, have just soaked it up over this many years of, and like, then I feel like we have such a broad scope of knowledge because we've had like everybody on to talk about everything from infidelity to psychological, like the psychology behind the way you text to attachment styles with someone like Andrew Huberman to narcissism with Dr. Romney to, you know, everything sex related. So we have such a wealth of knowledge. It just kind of like, I also wonder how much that affects even dating because we can like suss so much out, know what people are doing, know their motivations. But also I think it's really helpful. Like I said this, that I think this episode was really wonderful. I don't know that it was like one of our quote unquote most groundbreaking episodes for our audience per se, but I think they really liked it. But it was with Dr. Mimi Winsberg, who was like the texting style. Like she wrote a book about texting. That's like her, she was just an expert on like the way people text, the way we interpret text, all this stuff. And it just, it was so eye-opening to me at still at this stage in the game, that was only like last year, of how I even operate with, you know, potential partners, dates going forward of, you know, you get in your head, you're like, they're texting in this weird way. Like they don't like me, or they're not interested. And so much of it is like just how we are. It's not personal. We always want people to mirror our behavior or just think that they operate the way we do, and they don't. And so stuff like that is always so helpful to me, where I think it's made me a better person to date.
What was like one of like the actual scenarios that she would talk about?
She just was saying like some people just, well, one thing blew my mind. This was like the craziest thing that I was like, oh my gosh, where she was like, women or men typically, like if they're not texting a bunch, they think the relationship is going great. And women think like if they're not texting, something's wrong. So we like think about it totally different ways, and how some people really just may hit you up in the morning and then they work all day and they may not return to their phone to look at it till that evening. Which, so I have days like that for sure, not with like Raina, you know, we have to communicate all day, but where I'm just like, I'm so busy, I'm so scattered. But also I think maybe women tend to like make a few more concessions throughout the day. You really like someone, you want to text with them all the time. Like that's just not necessarily a behavior that a guy or anybody might do. So that kind of blew my mind. Like that a girl could be over here like, he's not texting me, something's wrong. And a guy could be like, we're solid, dude. She's not even texting me.
Yeah.
I'll see her later, you know?
It's definitely... In that scenario, you would hope that the guy's not doing it because he knows that it fucks with you too. I do think some guys do that, or people do that.
Purposeful is weird, a different whole thing.
That is a whole nother thing. I do think when someone's texting a lot, when a guy's texting a lot, he's maybe covering up something, you know, like, oh, you know, just like, oh, I'm checking in. I'm not doing anything, you know. You want anything from the store? No, I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're checking in more, you're probably maybe doing some devious shit, you know, because you're covering up for it. That's possible. I have a problem where I write back too quick, where I think I seem thirsty, not just from relationships, with business, with anything, where I'll see something and I'll respond before they almost hit send. And I don't think it's a... it's a good move, you know? I could be reading into it too much, well, too.
But like... with your friends, who cares?
Yeah.
Right? And then you have a girlfriend, like, you know, so who would even care?
I know. I think there are some men or like some people in comedy world where you seem too desperate, or you seem too available. Like, it's almost better to be like, I mean, I'd love to do your podcast, but, you know, I got...
Yeah. I guess you're right. It can make you seem like super available. But like, I don't know. I have gotten to the point where I'm just getting, I don't want to say like worse, but like I really am so busy. I was like, and so I cannot text all day. That would be my whole day.
Yeah.
I have like so many friends, like family, like so much going on, where if I really just answered everybody right away, that would be like a large portion of my day. So I'll find myself, honestly, feels so lame, but like, you know, sitting at home on the couch or something, and answering texts from earlier in the day, the day before, like answering them like their emails almost. Because so also on that note, sometimes I need to respond immediately so I don't forget about it if it's important. Like I think there's such a world in which you just like needed to respond, then you got distracted. And then like the other day you sent me that thing and I saw it and then I just like had to do something else and then didn't come back to it, which I would have liked to respond timelier. It was really funny.
Yeah, look, it's one of those things where for a while I would take it personal, you know? But, you know, text has been such a... The idea that someone needs to send you a text right back and having that expectation, maybe you should lower your expectation or not have any expectations of when someone writes you back. Because I think what happens is then you question... Am I not worthy of getting a text back? Then your ego gets involved and all that shit. And it's like, no, they just are probably this person has been your friend for 5 years. If they haven't written you back in 6 hours, it's not today that they decided that they're better than you, or they can't get back with you. But those are the thoughts we have, and we can't control them. But it's like, that's not you, you know?
I always think it's about us.
I know.
But that's the thing you, like, also, I feel like, learn as you get older, is like, it's not about me. Like, we're just quick to take things personally and, you know, feel slighted. It's like, this person has nothing to do with us.
I know.
But it's all do it.
You know what people do a lot now is the do not disturb on their phone, or like the sleep thing. And then you have to hit it again to notify them. I'm like, who the fuck do you think you are?
Everybody I text that pops up, then they respond right away.
They see it anyway.
Like, maybe I feel important where I'm like, oh, I get to just bypass this. But I'm like, it's all crying wolf now at this point. Like, if I see that pop up, it means nothing to me anymore. I would say 80% of the time I text somebody, that pops up and then they respond.
Yeah. I think it's almost like the blue check mark of texting. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I'm so important. Oh, I'm, you know, I wish you could like change the text of it. Like
an away message?
Yeah.
That's what we should be able to have.
That would be cool. Like, I'm doing something more important than texting you back. It's a little long, but something in that vein.
So,
you know?
I've never put, what is it actually? Your phone just doesn't buzz?
My
phone's always on silent. Like, what?
I think it's one of those things where it's like, look, I read a self-help book and I'm turning my phone off at 8 because I need all my 15 hours of sleep and something like that. But, you know, I do get that though too, because my phone, you know, I'll get buzzing all night and, you know, I'm so bad. Are you bad at your phone in the middle of the night, or do you sleep through the night?
No, it's in a different room.
In a different room.
Yeah. So this
great move.
So I started this, and don't worry, we have an erotic audio app, so I still masturbate with it before I put it in the other room. I just want to be clear.
That's your ideal man.
I don't want to go against the company policy. Yeah. No, I just was finding myself. So I've always had my phone on silent in the night. I can't. That's mind-blowing to me. People's phone buzz in the middle of the night, which I think it's like, you know, I was a person in my younger years that needed people to answer in the middle of the night when I was, you know, like in jail or whatever. So, I'm just like, I hate that I'm not the person you can call, but I'm not. Like, I hope that my friends know enough, like, you can come over and bang on my door and wake me up somehow. But I don't understand how people get through the night with a ringer on, right? Like, your phone will buzz with a text.
Yeah, I have to figure out. I started putting it on silent.
But
recently.
I'm just saying, like, some people, I think this is the importance of, like, a landline almost, where emergency, you would call a landline. But I keep my phone on silent all day, every day.
So you are one of these people that have to do not. But you don't let people know that it's silent.
Well, it's always in my, like, I'm always looking at it way too much.
Well, that's probably why you're not texting people back right away. Because you're not getting that, like,
it would
hit.
Just buzz all day long.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to say I'm, like, so popular.
No,
but
it's great.
But then my problem was always, like, scrolling in bed. And, like, an hour goes by, 2 hours. Like, oh, my God,
it's
2 a.m. pathetic. Like,
you got to be up at 7. Yeah.
What is the point of this? Now I'm tired for what? I didn't accomplish anything. I'm up working late. That's one thing. But up laying in bed scrolling, like, I was really beating myself up. So, yeah, I started putting it in another room completely. Sometimes I'll bring it in on the weekends. I'll treat myself. But that's what it is. And I use my Alexa for my alarm, you know. And then sometimes, like, in hotels or every once in a while, like, because I'll use, like, the Calm app as, like, my soundscape to go to sleep. So always in hotels, I use that. And then sometimes I can, like, use it in my bedroom too. Just like, I don't like to have it within reach.
Yeah. It's so, I mean, the problem with that for me would be it's so far away at that point where then I'd be thinking about it in the other room all by himself over there. You know what I mean? Like, that would kind of go in my head a little bit too. Yeah.
It's an adjustment. And then you don't. And then the other nice thing is it's not the first thing you look at when your eyes open.
Oh, my God. That's something I'm trying not to do. Or if I do it, I'll go to a book before I go to social media. I'm really trying to lower my social media a ton. And it's hard, you know, especially with the job we have. I sometimes think that if I did any other job that didn't require, you know, having to reach people, I think I would delete it all. I really think I would, which it sounds kind of crazy, but I really,
It doesn't sound crazy. I mean, we had Chris DiStefano on, but I don't know, like in the fall, maybe like fall or winter. And he has no, someone runs all of it. And so he doesn't even have that, nice. the passwords. Like, and again, this isn't like sharing a secret. He was very open about this on our podcast because he's fully on it, all of it. There's clips, there's engagement, but it's somebody else. And he just passed it off to somebody. And then I don't know. I mean, that was a while back. And so I haven't like checked in on him, but maybe he checks in and sees what people are saying. I have no idea. But he was like, that was like a crazy thing that I felt like I did, was to like pass this off to someone else.
How did he feel?
Well, his whole thing was like how much his life has changed, like for the better. Yeah. Like he doesn't need to see these people's opinions about him and be in the DMs with people and, you know, even just having a bunch of girls like hit on him. You know, I think his whole thing was like making his whole circle smaller, his life just tighter. And if you need to reach him, you have his phone number if you're someone that.
And you could, nice thing is you get to a point successful wise, you could just pay someone to do that.
Well, that's what he's doing. Yeah. And then, so it's like if something happens via the DMs, like someone will catch it. It's not.
Yeah. And he could always go to that person like, how did that video do? Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. That's all I need to know.
That's all. Yeah.
Oh man.
So Andrew.
Yeah.
Did you know this car chase earlier?
No, but I saw it on your stories. It was like the slowest car chase on earth.
Well, I mean, it was like 2 hours. It was like 12 to 2.
Like an OJ style, like Bronco thing?
Yes, like attempted murder. And then
he tried to.
The main guy they were after was, I guess he was, I missed the first half, but he was in a vehicle. They did the spike thing, they put the spike on the street. So then one of the tires starts to wear out. They drove that car till it couldn't drive anymore. He runs out. Two women run out. He gets in another car. He goes to like an alley, I think. He gets into another car. Two cars.
It's like Grand Theft Auto.
Like fully movie yeah. shit. And so I caught it when he was in his second vehicle. And I saw when they put the spike down. So I was like, and then they have the speedometer in the top corner of the screen on the local news. He's going max 40. And it's wild. There's 7 cop cars behind him. He'll take a turn at 10 miles an hour, but I feel like you can't put the blinker on. Do anything crazy.
Yeah.
He's like, because
he doesn't want to get another fine.
He could shoot somebody in the car. Like because you're thinking like, why don't the cops just cut him off? Why don't they shoot his tire out? Why don't they do something? It's because he's like, this is a person that could harm somebody in the car. Like, the cops can't do a lot, right?
Oh, there was someone else.
There was people in the car.
Okay, gotcha.
So then it's like, what are we don't want anybody to get hurt. So they just have to slowly follow him. And then
until everyone dies of old age.
So they did the spike thing. So then you're
again?
Like, the tire.
Yeah.
Yes, on the second vehicle. So they're like, the tire's down to the rim. And I'm like, the tire's down to the rim. And so Kate and Jay were watching it. They're about to fly to Mexico this weekend. Kate and Jay are in the Sky Club at LAX watching it. Everybody's crowded around, like watching this. And then they had to go board their plane. And she was like, keep me updated. So I'm texting her the whole time. I'm like, the tire's shredding. It's down to the rim. He's down at like 30 miles an hour. He can't go much longer. And then the news people, like, they lost their coverage because they were in like a no-fly zone. They couldn't fly their thing. So I'm like, we're losing him. And then they got him back. And I was like, this is crazy. And then the anchors were like, three things are going to happen, right? So when this car stops, he's going to run, or he's going to surrender, or he's going to like run and get in another vehicle. And then
he gets in a golf cart. You know, just everything keeps getting slower. He's on a lawnmower.
No, he goes and gets in a jet ski. Yeah, yeah. They're at the beach. He hops on a jet ski.
No, just a paddleboard. It's like with another family, though. We can't stop him. Yeah. He's just fucking.
It's a kayak.
Yeah.
A canoe.
It's a strong strategy. But so what ended up happening?
So he gets out and then, like, I had this woman at my house for something and it's happening on the TV and like she's talking to me. I'm like, hold on. And she got into it too. And I was like, I can't believe this is happening. So he got out and the car stopped. Like the tire just blew out finally.
Yeah.
He got out, the attempted murderer. Two other people got out and ran, but they're not like the people they're after. So there were people in the car and then he's running. I should show you pictures. I got to show you pictures.
Oh, did the other people run, the people that he, because they just wanted to get away from him?
I'm like unclear who they were, but like, look at this guy, like running, like movie shit, like running.
Holy shit. Yeah.
And then.
It's funny. He was like running faster than the car was moving.
The cops like. They got him, and then the cops like surrounded him and backed him into a corner at like a random person's house. So when he ran into these people's yard, these two dudes were like, what? Like, they don't want to be involved. So they like skedaddled, and then like seven cops like surrounded him, which I'm like, what a heyday for those cops. They've been following this guy for 2 hours at 40 miles an hour. Like, don't you feel like the cops start to feel like a failure?
Yes, they want to get
hour
it.
Two.
They want to get it done. It's a strong move to slow play it like that. I think it's almost better than going like 120, because if you're going 120, they want to stop it as quick as possible. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Maybe the cops are just like, you know what?
What else are we doing?
Let's just go do something else. This is, you know, what I love about those videos though the most is people see their home on the helicopter and they always go outside. And it's like, there's a murderer with a gun driving a car, 40 miles per hour.
Attempted
and you're
murder.
Going out there like, I wonder what's going on out here.
But you know? I would
100%. If there was a guy right, yes, of course. I live in a world where I don't think I'll be shot like
right.
that.
Right. And I'm like, well, it says attempted, so we don't know for sure. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
But also, the funniest thing that happens is that I'm watching the thing. I'm so invested. I like took a pause from something I was in the middle of. And then I see the chase with him and seven cop cars behind him, and then a huge long line of cars. And I'm like, that doesn't look like just traffic. It looks like something else. And then the anchor's like, is this a funeral procession? So there was literally like a line of cars, funeral procession, while like in tandem with the high speed chase. And they were like, only in LA is like, sorry, low speed chase.
Yeah.
We had like this low speed chase, and then next to it is like a long, how many cars, like 50 cars
Smart.
Coming from a funeral.
Smart, because then it's like, who's who? You know? Which one's what? You know what I mean?
Like, and then randomly, like, Joe Biden's in town, so yeah. Now we have, like, a presidential...
Yeah, parade. It almost starts a parade. Yeah. It'd be so funny. That guy just, like, everyone just wants to join. And it's like, no, this is how we...
But do you remember OJ? Like, do you remember your family? Were you guys around the TV? Like, that was wild.
I do remember. I don't remember where I was. I don't know how old we... What year was that?
94.
So I was 14 years old.
Like, I feel like we may have like a Zenith TV on the floor, Sylvania superset. And it was like, remember TV was the
Yeah, with
floor.
Some bunny ears. Yeah, with 13 channels and you got to click it. I remember my grandpa had porn on one of those kind of TVs. Like, I could get porn somehow, Spice Channel, and I would fucking get after it. And like, I don't know. Anyhow, but yeah, I was at that age though when you're 14. I don't. Even with like the Rodney King stuff, like anything that was like a huge story that was divisive, I was so young and yeah. Like I never, none of those things like because it happened that one time and then like I didn't really watch the news that much.
It was different. We didn't have social, like the news was like stuff for your parents when we were young because like we didn't have social media. So like I didn't know what was happening in the world, really.
Also,
you know?
I wasn't getting a million different opinions on what I just watched, you know? Like, I would watch news in the morning, you know? My mom always made us watch it. And I don't ever remember one time, like, we'd go to Iraq and I'd be like, I can't believe, I mean, I was so young. But still, like, I just was never politically affected. And now I'll go on Twitter for 2 minutes and I'm just like, we got to stop Tennessee. Or I don't even, you know what I mean? And I mean, it's nice to feel something, but you know.
It was like, it was different. But I remember, like, I remember, I think my parents maybe had friends over and just like watching that on TV, like wild times.
That was a slow chase, man. That was the slow, and on the highway too.
Well, was he going fast? He was slow.
No, his friend was driving.
Oh, right.
He was in the way back, like laying down.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Not guilty, though, at that time. Interesting.
Well, and then I remember I guess that was like, what, end of 94? I can't remember. But then I remember like the following July, maybe, he was like on trial and it was my birthday. And I remember the news being on because the trial was like all anyone watched. And it was like, OJ's birthday today. OJ turns 40 today. And it was my birthday because we have the same birthday because it's like all these murderers. Well, murders. But did you know this? So it's like OJ, Jody Arias, Stephen Avery. There's like all these murders on July 9th.
And that's your birthday too? Well, you're a fucking killer, dude, on stage. Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah.
Murdering the game.
Murdering the game. Fucking murdering this dating fucking matchmaking service. You're the OJ of matchmaking. Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah, bro. That's how we talk. And like 6 months from now, we'll do another pilot. We're just like, hey, what's up, Ashley?
We're like those young pilots.
yeah, just fly, man. Just let it take its wings, dude. Freaking, yeah, I always get nervous with that. It is crazy though. Like we haven't linked up in, well, I guess you did the pod when I was in St. Louis, but we haven't been, it's wild that it was 2 years.
Oh yeah. Well, we did what I did puddles like twice. What? Oh, you know what we did? The first time I remember that was like, we talked about the tampons and when I came out to Brooklyn. But then the one with the choking was at my house. Just like forced me into it. We probably did the box thing that day. The striptease.
Yeah, So I did the striptease when I came out of the Christmas box, or was it? Yeah.
So
I did a lot of those things for you. Also, going through your photo, like I did a lot of like laying next to a pizza box naked. Like I was just like. Yeah, I'll do you.
You're just like down.
I know.
I mean, I paid you.
I know. Oh, I'm not mad about it. I think like, no, I should have been respected.
Easiest money you ever made. We were showing Brenna, weren't we showing her the Bros Being Basic, your shoots from back in the day?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty hot, you know? I mean, does that app or does that site completely dead now?
I mean, it's just, it's inactive.
Yeah.
Like I don't post on it.
It would be funny to post now, but just something like just a stand-up clip. But don't even say anything, you know? Just start using it.
Or like change the name and then, or delete any old posts. Like just so clear, you know. What this funniest thing, I think about this a lot. Raina wrote the funniest thing one time on Instagram where, and if you guys don't know what we're talking about, basically we did this like COVID virtual live show for the holidays, Girls Gotta Eat. And we had Andrew get in a box, like wrapped like a present, and come out and sing Santa Baby. And you nailed it in one shot, which was great because the box broke. And it was iconic. It was the best thing that's ever happened. So then like a few months later, I did this HelloFresh post. And in my vision, I was going to try to put Azul in the box. And then I thought it would be so cute, him like popping out of the box.
Yeah.
Him and our assistant at the time, Bella, the way we tried to shove him in that box, he did not fit. So we didn't do it. And like the post turned out to be him next to it. I'm holding up the recipe cards. It was very cute. And I'm like laughing and he's smiling. And the caption was something like, we're laughing because I thought I was going to fit him in this box. And Raina commented, Andrew Collins fit in a box, but not Azul. And like, I think about it all the time. It was like one of the funniest things. Andrew fit in a box, but
my box might have been bigger, you know. I also broke the box, let's be honest. I don't know if I fit in that box. I think, dude, I came out like a cobra coming out of a, you know what I mean, like a snake charmer. That was God, I was so down to do some dumb shit.
Well, and then you did another really good one from St. Louis with the Cupid wings.
Oh man, that was great. Dude, if you tell me that you're going to play it in front of 1,000 people, I'll do whatever the fuck you want.
1,000?
Well,
like,
yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
no, back then, I mean, I think we had like 10,000 people into those.
I think that's how I met Brenna, maybe. Or we had one before I came to St. Louis is how I met my girlfriend.
She saw that?
That's how she found out I was moving to St. Louis. And that's why she hit me up.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, this last segment.
Okay. Oh, it's a segment. So
yeah, I know. This is very official. Yeah, this is the Andrew. It's very different. This is when we cue the music. I know. The best part is when I asked you, like, what are the things you look for in a guy? You looked at me like I asked you like a question, like a real interviewer, and you were like shocked. It was. I'm going to think about that for a while where I'm just. So anyhow.
I get asked that question a lot and I don't want it from you. I'm just like,
I know. It feels very formal, but that's what this.
Well, we pivoted.
We really did. We got into our groove, but this will get us out of it. ChatGPT, which we know is AI. I asked it how big it thinks your vagina is. No.
Wait, did you? I want to know.
It won't. They just sent a picture to Suez
they
Canal.
They pull up all my old stand-up clips. They're like, it's too big. But yeah, this that, where that boat got stuck.
Azul could fit 9 of him in there.
Andrew Collin could do a striptease out of it.
Yeah, it wouldn't fall apart. It already has. Anyhow, we're having fun now. Where was this at the beginning?
That is okay. My vagina. It's like a broken down box. It's just like the sides have come off.
My dick is like the knife you use to cut the tape. So I asked ChatGPT, I go, what questions would you have for Ashley Heseltine?
Oh my gosh.
And it's so funny because it is like these kind of questions where you would look at me, if I asked you them, you would go, am I having a stroke? You know, or you'd be like, you've changed, you're trying too hard. Who are you, Lex Friedman? Who is like ChatGPT as a person, but what inspired you to start your podcast and how has it evolved over time?
I'm 0% answering that.
Okay. Next question.
We have to answer that all the time. I'm not doing it here.
They're not beating me. This isn't a competition between me and the computer.
But it's funny because I'm like, who else has used this for our interviews? You know what I mean?
Oh, that. Well, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I've been asked that.
Oh, I'm sure. These are the most generic fucks. And by the way, they kill it. These podcasts that ask the most generic fucking questions. And they just go, Yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah. Wow. How do you balance being a successful entrepreneur, writer, and content creator with other aspects of your life?
Like such dating?
Andrew,
I hate these. Who? Everybody's. Listen, I don't hate these. These are great. I'm just not going to answer them with you.
I don't think you should.
But I've answered these so many times.
Yes. I feel like ChatGPT, I should have done Ask Ashley as Andrew Collin. I don't think it would have worked. I don't know if I'm big enough to do that.
And but it would be like, how do you choke?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They'll just be like, you had a friend that flew a plane really low. You didn't even ask a question. You're just saying statements about your life. Yeah, thanks. Okay, how do you handle criticism or negative feedback about your work? I kind of want to know this one, and we could end on this. How do you do that?
Well, okay.
Because I have trouble with
it. I think this is a never-ending journey. I think I've come so far, but I don't think you ever fully, like, don't care or something, you know? But so I am a person that will – I've never, like – I don't want to read negative things about myself. So I will avoid it at all costs. I haven't read our podcast reviews since July – or sorry. I haven't read our podcast reviews since, like, 2019.
ChatGPT, like, look up.
Stop, stop. If someone's like, someone's posting this on like Reddit, I would never go there. I would like avoid it at all costs. Like, I don't, and I told you the other day, even sometimes if like a comedy club posts a clip, I don't need to read those comments because they're not fans of me. They're probably going to say the same old dumb shit that people say about every other female comic. I don't need to read it. So I actively avoid all of that. I don't need to read what strangers say about me on the internet. I care what people close to me think. My friends and family, our team, you know, like getting constructive criticism is important. So it's not that, but all the strangers on the internet, like, I don't need it. I think it like can ruin you.
Dude,
like,
for sure.
I think it can seep into your brain. I mean, I'm pretty good about it. Like, I could like speak on this forever. I love this topic of like the self-talk when someone says something terrible to you, of like what you have to tell yourself about the type of person that person is, you know, like all that stuff, why these things don't matter. But it still can sting and it can still get into your brain. And that's very few and far between. People take it pretty easy on me. I'm not some hated person. I'm not some like polarizing. I know plenty of people hate me, but it's not incessant. And so I have it pretty good. I go most days without people saying terrible things to me. So it's not that I don't have to like avoid the internet altogether, but I don't seek it out. And I do avoid it as much as I can. And when it happens, I just self-talk my way out of it, of like why that's not true. For one, a lot of it's just like, that's not true, you know, or also like, I'm not going to please everybody. And that's something too, I think a lot of people, especially anyone in comedy, it's like, if everybody likes you, you're not doing it right. You know, like you can't please everybody. It's comedy, for one, is so subjective. Podcast material is so subjective. Like, there's very few creators in the world that everyone likes. I can't even name one. People hate Beyonce. You can't ever please everybody. And so some of it's just like knowing all of those things to be true. But I, you know, came from a world of blogging. I have had people criticizing me for a long time, but to when we got in this point, you know, with the Girls Gotta Eat success, like I was already in my 30s, and I think that helps too. And when you're younger, it's so much harder to like not read those comments and not take them to heart. And mm-hmm. I like feel for like younger influencers and people like that that have to, he can't help themselves and do read it. And I think it can literally ruin you as a person. Like if you read those things nonstop, I know what it would do to me. So I don't do it. And I know some people do it. And I feel for them.
I do it. I've been better about it.
Will you seek it out?
I'll seek it out sometimes. And I was been reading about why you do it. Uh-huh. Because I'm a fucking idiot. But I a lot of it has to do with.
No, you're probably more normal than me. I mean.
Well, I see. I'm trying not to. Well, here's a couple of things. Two things. One, if I'm not treating my body right, if I'm partying a lot, or if I'm like eating horribly, and I'm not writing a lot, if I'm not, I'll take whatever is said about me, and if I'm thinking about that about myself, it just confirms that for me. So, but if I'm taking care of myself, I am able to separate the comment from mm-hmm. who I am. But that's hard. And then I think we seek it out because, whatever our caveman brains, you seek out danger to protect yourself. And that's like part of the reason why people seek out these negative comments, is to actually like, in a weird way, find the danger. And then it like, I think that also, it does something to your brain where you feel alive, even if it's negative. Like you get addicted to that mm-hmm. feeling of like sadness, or like it could reaffirm like, why am I sad with myself? Yeah. Oh, well, here we go. Now I have an answer.
Right. Oh, right. It's like emotional cutting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so anyhow, but
there's just like this, again, this is like really nuanced, and I could talk about it forever. So maybe you shouldn't ask me that. I feel really passionate about it. But like, people who criticize you, and then like, then they'll criticize you and say you can't take criticism or something. Like, it's weird. Like, people just want to dig in. And so you're welcome to ignore all of it, you know, or you're welcome to take a note here and there. But I think there's this whole thing of people want to be like, they'll criticize people who, I don't know. I just think people constantly want like apologies and to feel seen and heard if they don't like something that you said. And it's like, you can't do that. Like, you really can't bend and twist yourself to please everybody and apologize constantly and listen to all the criticisms. You just can't, and you shouldn't. And so I think there's a really healthy medium. And I think that Rain and I have come to realize where if like, we know if like everybody is saying a thing, and we will address it if it feels like overwhelming. But like, most times you put a thing out into the world that a lot of people see, someone's just not going to like it.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is reminding yourself that like, these two people or these five people said this thing, but what about the hundreds or thousands of other people that liked it? Like, you, why do we just grasp on to like the negative thing? And so sometimes I do this, and I know other people do this, and I do think it's helpful, is like, if you see something negative or a comment or a DM or whatever, I will like go in and like read some of those kind ones that I hadn't like seen before. I can't keep up with all my DMs, but like, why would we address some negative thing, criticism, and give air to it and let it bother us when we haven't even taken the time to like respond to like 10 DMs that were like really wonderful and kind and complimentary? Like, why not gas those people up for being like a positive energy in the world? So if I get upset about anything, I just try to shift the energy.
I think about Larry David. He has this thing where he was in New York. It was on one of maybe the pilot episode. And he's walking around New York. Everyone's like, we love you, Larry. Fucking love you, Larry. And then one person goes, fuck you, Larry David. And he's like, what was that? And then the whole day he's just talking, you know, and it just never ends. And it's just, you know, we're seeking.
But if someone, like, you'd have to say something so much more specific to hurt me.
Yeah.
Like,
but sometimes
anything of like, if someone yelled, fuck you, Ashley Hasseltine, on the street, I would probably laugh. Or if someone yelled, you're a cunt. That, I don't care. You're a bitch.
If you're like, you put your phone in your other room and you use your vibrator because you can't get a man without paying for a service. You're like, okay, that seems kind of specific. I mean, that's kind of mean. But do you listen to my pod? You listen.
Yeah, can you leave a review?
Can you leave a review, please? Positive. 3 stars.
Buy a vibrator. Yeah.
I mean, this. I really enjoy talking to you.
Oh, thanks. I enjoy talking to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, and yeah, I'm so happy that we're living in the same city.
I know. I can't believe you followed me here. It's so weird.
I know. Did I think we came on like the first same day? I would have. Trust
no,
me.
I just feel so excited you're here. Like I, when you told me it was like on the radar, I called Rainer right away. You know the funniest thing to me that you said? You said, like, when you were telling me something that happened, you were like, this stays between me, you, and Rainer. Like, just because you were just telling me.
Yes, I know. I mean, look, it's a 2-for-1. You look, you put things up top. She puts things down below. That's what you're going to do with what. And I love it. I like it's to think that you can tell someone, go, hey, man, don't tell anyone. And they're not going to go to someone else and go, hey, you can't tell anyone. That we really think that, and I still do it. I'm 42 years old. I'll still go to a friend and be like, look, you can't tell anyone.
Well, sometimes you just have a person that's not even connected to that other world.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way to go. You know?
Yes, yes, yes. Find someone that is completely unbiased. Or, well, they'll be biased towards you a little bit, like, no matter what.
It's never going to get back, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
And I can keep a secret.
I'm pretty good. I've gotten better.
I did
sure.
I kept something really personal, like from everybody, Raina included.
Wow.
And
you're ready to share now? Could you imagine?
Yeah, I'd love to share now.
Can you imagine? Did you? What happened?
I don't even remember what it was now. It was something stupid, someone's dumb secret. Well, I'm totally
I'll ask ChatGPT about it. Yeah. Oh, April 30th.
Yeah.
When with that. April 30th, 7 p.m. We have a show, Hot and Funny, at the Hollywood Improv. First one was incredible, sold out. Second one, I had COVID and I couldn't go, and I was pretty sad about it. Or I was definitely sad about it. I really look forward to it, and come on out.
Yeah. And it's going to be great. We have Allie Colbert, who we've been trying to get.
And JT Parr, who was just on the show.
Oh, right.
On a show called Chad and JT Go Deep on Netflix. He was just a guest on this, and I'm sure we'll get one more really great guest. And yeah, this has been awesome.
Thanks for having me.
All right, let's get in your Jaguar and go make fun of a Nextera.
Okay. Later.